Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
And welcome in hour number two. Dan Israel joining us here, our Chiefs insider. Glad to have Dan in for a weekly visit. Always appreciate the time. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester with you. Jad Chambers producing. IHOP Hotline will open back up in just a little bit at 869-1240. Dan, we look at the Chiefs. They're making trades. We'll get into all of that bigger picture, but let's look back a little bit at the Raiders game first. I thought, you know, game plan wise, the Raiders probably defensively, if you're the Raiders and you come in and you say you're going to hold the Chiefs to under 100 yards rushing, and you know Patrick Mahomes, while he looked efficient and good, didn't light the world on fire, I think you probably feel pretty good about that if you're the Raiders. But boy, they just couldn't get anything going on the ground, which that's kind of what the Chiefs do, right? They're just taking that away from people.
Yeah, I'm still stunned that their head coach Antonio Pierce came out and said we have the recipe now to beat the Chiefs, because they didn't. You know, and that's tough, man. That's a gauntlet. You drive that straight into the ground, and it's going to bite somebody. It ended up biting on the Las Vegas Raiders. But look, I think the Raiders are getting better. I just don't think they're as complete a team as the Chiefs are, and I don't think anybody expected them really to. I think we made it a closer game than people were expecting.
You know, Travis Kelce, Dan, it was the second game in a row that, you know, he was extremely involved offensively and has kind of shaken off, I feel like, that slow start, you know, to an extent. Is that a byproduct of just him getting going? Or, has there been, in your mind, a deliberate attempt to really get him that much more involved?
You know, I think it's probably lack of comfort everywhere else for Mahomes, to be honest. Yeah. I haven't seen that it's a deliberate attempt. I think they know what Travis is capable of. I think if Kelce feels that he's open and not getting the ball, he's none too vocal about that with one of, you know, if not his best friend. So I would say it's just been, you know, the situation, but it sure was good to kind of see flashes of the old Travis Kelce, because look, we're going to need him the rest of this year and definitely into the playoffs. And so, you know, for everyone who thought, well, the wheels have come off the cart, not quite so quick there, folks.
Yeah, it seems necessity to me, and it makes me wonder, Dan, if it stays necessity as DeAndre Hopkins gets warmed up. He did probably, I think, what we all expected was a factor, but you know, it's not been enough time, and it makes me wonder, like, if the plan was to conserve Travis Kelce, they can probably, if they want to, go back to that a little bit, because I think D-Hop will help alleviate Kelce needing 12 targets. Or do they just keep it going full steam at this point?
No, I think you're right, Jacob. I think one of the things about DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce combined is they're both that kind of third down, get a first down guy. And so you can't cover them both, and you know, not with double teams. And so certainly I think DeAndre Hopkins will be a short threat that is more similar to Travis Kelce than Juju Smith-Schuster or Xavier Worthy. I think that's what we'll see out of DeAndre Hopkins. And you know, I think what we saw in Las Vegas was a good start. You know, it wasn't a full-fledged playbook. By no means were they featuring him, but you saw him make critical third down conversions. And I really like that, because, I mean, the way the Chiefs game is with them getting chunk plays at times, it tends to not be that, you know, short yardage third down. You end up throwing for two downs and then you're in your third and 10 or third and eight, you know? And so guys like Kelce, guys like DeAndre Hopkins, I think are going to be critical to the continuation of that. Although we're trying to make us a running team, I think it's, you know, you're still going to see slivers of previous offenses in there for sure.
Dan, I saw a stat this morning defensively for Kansas City that blew my mind. And we've known how elite the Chiefs have been in stopping the run through the first seven games. But what I didn't realize was that they're the best team by far in the NFL at stopping the run on first down. And they're doing that at a better clip than any other team in the National Football League. And by a result of that, forcing teams into second and long, third and long, that sort of scenario. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense that they're doing really well at that, because there aren't a lot of times that you see teams that run the ball on first down when they face the Chiefs have a second and short or third and short. That's been a key point to their success defensively.
Tommy, you know, it's funny. I want to screenshot those statistics because I name the last one. I mean, you got to go back a decade. And so I think it's interesting that the Chiefs defense has kind of become that, especially with the absence of Willie Gay Jr. I feel like Drew Krinkle's really stepped into that role, and Nick Bolton's still thumping. And now you see, you know, Shamar Connor coming, you know, Leo Chanel growing up kind of before our eyes and making bigger and bigger plays. And so it definitely casts a little bit of a light or a little bit of a shadow, let's say, on the secondary. I mean, I'm not sure we've fixed our cornerback situation yet, right? There's a lot to that, but boy, you got to give them credit in that. If you can stop the run and you've always got your defense, or you've always got your opponent's offense working from behind the chains, it just makes everyone's job so much easier. And again, it's a different defense than what we saw last year. So all of that combined, it sure is fun to watch.
You're muted, Jacob.
He had such
sorry, everybody. I was coughing. This cough has been my favorite thing about the last week. You mentioned this. We're talking defense, and you mentioned the path to beating the Chiefs that Pierce mentioned. I don't know that he's all that wrong. Like, to me, the path is you're not going to run it on him, so you better throw it on him. And I think that's a big part of the reason we saw the Uche acquisition yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know how much better they're going to be able to get with the injuries at corner, but what they can clearly get better at is rushing the passer, which will help the pass defense, which they probably just did. This is a guy with a high pedigree. I know his numbers haven't been there this year, but boy, he had 11 and a half sacks back in 22. So it's just what the doctor ordered, isn't it? I think that is a path. I think Pierce is right. You're going to have to throw on him because you're not going to run on him. That's the ticket. So what can the Chiefs do to counter that? They can get a better pass rush.
Yeah, I think some people, too, are questioning this Uche acquisition as maybe a concern for Omenihu's return. But you got to keep in mind, this is a very good Chiefs deal. I mean, there's very little money involved in here. You've got a guy who's midway through his career. I think he's, played 5 or 6 years. He's 26, so he's not seen the best of it yet. And so, or at least he's certainly not over the hill. And so I think you get something out of him, and for what you paid for him, a sixth round pick, if he's a contributor at all. I mean, we look at sixth and seventh round picks and go, whoa, they got on the field, right? I mean, they weren't special teamers. So I feel like this is another good trade with Veach. I think, you know, if you look at these last 2 weeks, and we were clamoring for it, right? We wanted something to happen, and he went out and got some stuff done. And I really feel like, you know, is it going to turn the corner? Is this going to make the Chiefs, you know, a completely different defense? Absolutely not. I just think it's one more piece to the puzzle. And it's exactly what you said, is the more pressure you get on that quarterback, the less time he has to deal with the secondary and the less time the secondary has to deal with him.
The Chiefs are 7-0, Dan, and there's been a lot of good. There's been a lot of, you know, some things that probably could be improved slightly. But then in my mind, there's one area that I just, at this point through seven games, I'm kind of sounding the alarm in my head, like they've got to do something about, and that's left tackle. For me, it's gone from just being not great, but serviceable. And I know that the last 2 weeks they've gone up against Nick Bosa and Max Crosby. I get that. Those two guys are outstanding pass rushers. But it's not really working, at least in my opinion, with Wanya Morris. And I know that Sua Mataia has a lot of potential, but he's still a rookie. Do you get the sense that same concern is shared internally? Or is it more about, let's just try to cross our fingers and hope that these guys improve as the season goes on?
Well, I think your point's undeniable. And I think, you know, I was, to be honest, a little surprised we didn't see Sua Mataia in Vegas, because at some point it felt like Wanya was getting overpowered by Max Crosby. Yeah. And look, guys, that's what they're going to face in the playoffs, right? So somehow you've got to figure out a way to stop that. And it was not a pretty look. I don't think anybody would look at the offensive line play from Sunday's game and say, oh, we're right where we need to be. No, there's a lot there that needs to improve. And, you know, Kingsley not getting snaps is a questionable. Why? You know, do they feel like Wane is that clearly ahead of Kingsley, and you know, or is it just a hey, leave the guy in there? He's got to get a rhythm going. But you know, by the time you're midway through the third quarter, and a guy is still making penalties and you know, and getting holding calls on him, I feel like they would have made a hook if the roles were reversed and Kingsley had been out there. I think they would have made the hook in Sunday's game. So I was a little surprised it didn't happen, to be honest with you.
Well, and if you look, even if you just look across the NFL, Dan, like Texans, Vikings, Ravens, three of the top five, you know, leaders in sacks across the NFL, Packers are up there, Commanders are up there inside the top 10. To your point, yeah, when you get to the playoffs, everybody can rush the passer. So it would be surprising if you get into a key game against a team that can't do that very well. I don't know what they do. Andy Reid talked yesterday and there's nothing that he's saying that's giving me any indication other than they're just going to have to sort of roll with it. I don't know what they can do. Left tackles aren't falling off trees. At what point in your just memory or recall do you remember a young offensive lineman, really at any position, making that turn mid-season or late in the season? I would imagine it happens. You know, we know at wide receiver, it happened for Rashee Rice at a certain time. And like, we can see that, but for an offensive lineman, it feels like they can kind of just come in and do it or they can't. Like, I don't remember one getting markedly better over the course of a season.
I think to a large degree, you're right. I think, you know, if you look back, and I know Will Shields was a guard, but he had a tough rookie season. Juan is not a rookie. John Ault, remember, he struggled with injury and kind of coming, but you're right. I mean, you're kind of either made I look at it like an old oak tree. You're either an oak tree or you're not. And no amount of, you know, wishing a guy was an oak tree, if he's a, you know, Bradford pear, doesn't work to bury this analogy. But I feel like, you know, one of the things about what we've seen over the last couple of years and both winning a Super Bowl and just playing in a long regular season is that Coach Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, he is a stud. I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he gets. And I think a lot of times he is making more out of the player than the player's really ready for. Now, can Wanye continue to improve? He has to. I mean, he has to. Their options here are, you know, as you said, these aren't just sitting around waiting for, you know, telephone calls. Offensive tackles are a precious commodity, really. And so I think he'll figure out a way to look at that film and improve Wanye. It won't be overnight. I don't think it will be something like this week. We go, wow, was that a different Wanye Morse or not? Otherwise, we would have seen similar kind of traits out of Antonio Brown in years prior. And so, but I think it'll improve. And, you know, if you can knock two of those penalties out and extend two possessions, maybe where you weren't, you know, you killed drives on the field, that's a big deal. And so, you know, as the Chiefs try not to make these games close, every single possession counts. And somehow he's just got to figure out a way to generate competition. Coach Heck has to figure out a way to generate competition and get those guys to improve a tick each game. Each time they go out, they got to get a little better.
Looking at this team as a whole, Dan, it's interesting. The power rankings, basically, you know, every website or blog you go to where they're doing power rankings, of course, the Chiefs are one or two or somewhere in probably the top three. What I find really interesting, and I've mentioned this on this show a few times over the last week, I feel like the Chiefs' identity is a lot different than a lot of the other teams around them in the power rankings. And what I mean by that is that whether you're talking about a team like the Ravens or the Bills, even the Lions in the AFC, a lot of these other teams are pretty explosive, especially offensively, and what they're doing as far as the play calling and the playmakers they have and things like that. What I've used to describe the Chiefs, I've kind of equated it to like death by a thousand paper cuts. They kind of sneak up on you, but that's not been their identity in the past. It is kind of their identity right now, where all of a sudden teams, like opponents, are like, wait, how are we losing to the Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes hasn't had a great game, or he's thrown a couple of picks, or they've made mistakes or whatever. And obviously defense plays a huge role in that. Do you get that feeling too, that like the identity right now of this team, while it's working, obviously they're undefeated, is markedly different than maybe some of the other contenders in the NFL?
Yeah, interestingly enough, Tommy, I think the identity is that, just that we'll find a way to win. It won't be pretty. And that's kind of become their deal through the last seven games. And look, I can almost assure you that there no one in that locker room, no one in that clubhouse is worried about going undefeated. And frankly, I think it's, if we get to the point where we're 12-0 or something like that, you'll see coach rest all the starters, right? There's no, that's not the goal here. The goal here is to three-peat and get that first round, get the first seed in the AFC is important towards that end. So they'll spend whatever game capital, game win loss capital they have doing that. I don't think the undefeated part, the fact that we're halfway through the season undefeated in all these myriad of ways we've won games, is just, I just think they're looking at that as, wow, we've built up a margin of error here where we can really afford to do this thing right and set ourselves up for a January, February run. Now, still not talking about that. They talk about this week, they talk about Monday night. That's all they're focused on, and that's always good to see. You never want to walk into a locker room and have a guy talking about, December and October, or November. But I do feel like that's kind of become their identity. I think the question there is, will they stay that way, or will they continue to try to evolve that identity into something more pronounced, that they're a run team or they're a pass team? Certainly DeAndre Hopkins is going to, I think, factor into that identity somehow. And it'll be exciting to see just the progression. They brought Kareem Hunt along so fast, guys. I mean, 1 minute he's on a plane from Cleveland, the next minute he's starting. And I just feel like they're going to do the same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. So I think as little as we saw last week out of D-Hop, I think you're going to see a whole big chunk of that more this week. And I think he will continue to help kind of evolve that identity, if indeed it does evolve.
And I think they'll change it week to week. I always say they remind me of the early Patriots and their dynasty. Like, they're just going to morph into whatever they need to win that particular game. I would ask you this, Dan. The Steelers played on Monday Night Football. So I'm watching that. Russell Wilson steps in. Clear upgrade for them. Upgrade over what they've had since Ben Roethlisberger was, pre-dinosaur Ben Roethlisberger. I kind of look at the Steelers right now as the top contender in the AFC. The way they rush the passer, they're balanced on offense. Where do you put them as far as threat level? Because I think right now I've got them at the top.
I mean, it's 6-2. I can't argue with that, right? I mean, they're one game, and we've got a tie for the AFC West here. I mean, the AFC conference. So yeah, I think and it's surprising, guys. I'll tell you, that organization has just been a winner year after year after year for probably going on 40 years. It's really amazing when you look at all the franchises throughout, the National Football League, and you go back truly back to the roots of this era before the modern football Super Bowl era. The Steelers have been winners for a long time, man. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know. If you had said to me early in the season that the game on Christmas was going to be maybe for, the first seed in the conference, I would have said, with the Steelers, with Russell Wilson? But they look so good. And Tomlin just seems to get the most out of his guys. And where can they continue it? I don't know. But here's the one thing I do know. There's a bunch of no-name guys that are just quietly getting in. I mean, they have one or two stars on defense, one or two stars on offense, and that's it. I mean, I feel like their identity for this season is evolving as well. They're becoming a winning team, not something they came out of the gates with, but it's something they found a handle on early. We'll see if they can continue it, because come Christmas Day, man, that could be a big game.
It'll be a fun one no matter what. We've got Monday Night Football this week, Dan. Any special festivities? The Chiefs open as a 9-point favorite over the hobbled Bucks, but you guys got anything special coming for us on a special broadcast? Always fun to be on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Arrowhead, no less. But hoping to get Jason Kelce on the air with us. Jason was a student of mine at the broadcast boot camp a couple of years ago. Not that those two need any help from me, because they're doing just fine on their own. But hopefully, if we can work out the logistics, he's going to join us for a segment on our network show. So looking forward to that. He's a good dude. He's so different from his brother, too. I think it'd be interesting. Look, for people who watch the podcast or listen to the podcast, they already know this, but there's a lot of people out there that don't. And so to get an opportunity to talk with him, I'm looking forward to it if it works out.
Yeah, rising star for sure. Yeah. Dan, we're looking forward to it. We'll have the immediate post-game reaction a week from now on our weekly visit, as it's looking good for the Chiefs here. Looking good.
Yes, sir.
There goes Dan Israel. We appreciate it. Chiefs Radio Network executive producer, our Chiefs insider. Always appreciate Dan's visits here. So much good insight there, and looking forward to that. Yeah, Jason Kelce on the broadcast would be a major coup right now. He's the hot commodity in the football broadcasting world.
I love good that. Good stuff. Be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too. It'll be fun. All right, let's come back. We'll digest some of what Dan had to say there. We'll look around the sports world. We touched briefly on the World Series. We'll get you caught up on the move that the Chiefs made yesterday. If you weren't with us earlier, they acquire a pass rusher. So we'll take you through that. It's all coming for you as we make our way through hour number two of Sports Daily. Let's give away some HTO on the way out, by the way. All you got to do to win a free iced tea, sweet, unsweet, more than 25 flavors, or a free iced or hot coffee. There's a new flavor, by the way, rolling out here in just a couple of days. You can do that right now. You can win one of each by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. This will be good for East, West Wichita, or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's tea 20357. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on a Tuesday. Tommy, the Chiefs right now, and granted, they've played seven games. They've had their bye week. 25th in the league in sacks. 25th. They need to be better than that in the postseason. And I think that's a big reason why they go make a trade for a guy like Josh Uche, who in this league has been an 11.5 sack a year guy. And I think they're hoping to catch maybe a little lightning in a bottle with that move. But the Chiefs make another move to address a need. And they've done just a really, really good job of that this year, between getting Juju and then getting D-Hop and now getting a pass rusher. Again, I don't think they're going to be able to get a left tackle, but maybe. I mean, I'm not going to count it out either. Who knows by the time somebody gets out of the mix here. Tom, what if the Jets fall out of it? Like, if the Jets lose again, you call and see if they might want to trade Tyron Smith. Like, they brought him in to help. Well, he ain't going to help him, you know. So maybe there's something like that. And again, I would be willing to do just about anything to solve the problems to win the third Super Bowl. It's just hard to imagine there will be one like that out there. But I am so pleased that they continue to just do everything that they can possibly do as a front office to give Andy Reid the pieces he needs to try to get this done.
I had this brief thought as you were bringing up the Jets. I thought you were going to go down the route of saying, call them and see if they would trade Sauce Gardner, because I mean, the defense is falling apart. The Chiefs could use a cornerback. That's not going to happen. But you said that. I'm like, oh, man, like maybe that's the direction he's going down. No, I think that from a pass rush perspective, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good with the added depth. I'm good with, you know, the price that they paid to get Uche.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if they can get Aminihue back sooner rather than later, then at that point you feel overall that they're a lot more complete as far as that role with the defense is concerned. What's interesting is that Chris Jones, while he has always been dominant through the interior at getting to the quarterback, that's been his calling card. That's what he's been known for. I mentioned it to Paul yesterday. He's the, you know, I guess self-proclaimed CEO of Sac Nation. Like, that's what everybody knows about Chris Jones, is his ability to get to the quarterback. more than anything this season, it's been stopping the run. Like that's and he's been really good at that. Right. And so there's nothing wrong with that. It's just been a different direction that we've seen from this Chiefs defense. I think I'm of the belief that even if they didn't go and trade for Josh Uche, even though I'm good with the move and I think it does help them, even if they didn't, I still think that even in the playoffs, from a defensive perspective, assuming that there aren't any catastrophic injuries or anything, they would still be able to get the job done. This just helps them. Again, it widens that margin out a little bit more. It makes it more likely that their defense can get it done holistically. You're muted.
Tommy, I swear this cough, man. So here's what happens, and I appreciate that. I still cannot get through this lingering cough. And so I have to mute to hack, and then I don't unmute. So that's why that happens. I agree. This wasn't such an urgent need that like, oh man, they cannot do what they need to do if they don't get this done. There was never going to be any need that is that, and probably the most likely one that would affect them that way is left tackle, and they probably can't solve that one anyway. So, you know, wide receiver, could they get it done if they didn't go get D-Hop? Sure they can. No, could they get it done if they don't go get another pass rusher? Sure they can. Is it good to have those guys?
Yeah.
Sure it is.
And you know what? That's honestly why from day one I was predicting that Brett Veach wouldn't do anything, because they could have gotten it done with exactly the personnel that they had before they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, assuming injuries. And I mean, that's, you never know that. You can't predict that, barring any kind of other injuries. I think that the talent on the team, the personnel that they had, could have absolutely gotten it done. What they did was they expanded their likelihood. They were able to make themselves improved. And because of that, I think you can then, I don't even want to say breathe a sigh of relief. You feel a little bit better about just the depth that they have and, you know, being able to create a little bit more separation from those other contenders.
Being preventative, right? Yeah. Like Kareem Hunt was an acquisition. Like all these players they're acquiring, they're being preventative. The problem is the trade deadline doesn't come in week 17,
right?
Right, in week 9. So you also have to be able to predict the future a little bit. And the reality is, at wide receiver, they did not have enough depth to get where they need to go.
And think about it this way: this is an analogy that I think you could probably relate to. Imagine that you have a lingering cough for a second, okay? As soon as you get that little tickle in the back of your throat and you can't really figure out what's going on, you probably ought to start popping cough drops. You ought to go to the pharmacy, like preventative, before it develops into a cough that you can't get rid of. Yeah. You ought to start taking some medicine before it gets bad to try to head it off. You know, you get what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if you can actually, because you did, I don't think you did that, but you know,
I've probably tried to
that a little bit, right?
I've taken everything under the sun to try and get it. This cough, like I swear, it is a very first time of COVID way back whenever all that was. Anytime now I have a lingering, I never had a lingering cough, never been a cougher. And now it's just like, it just will not go away. It's so annoying. You can see a problem down the road if you're the Chiefs. You can see, based on everything that's happened, you don't have enough at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And you might not have enough even when you maybe start to get some guys back. So you go do something about it now. You knew that you weren't going to have enough behind Isaiah Pacheco. Could you still win games? Could you get it done if you just called up, somebody from the practice squad? Maybe. But why even take that risk? Go get something that you know you can utilize, right? And that's all they continue to do. Could they get it done with this pass rush? Probably. Do they need to? Why? Like, why would you not go do something? Why would you not make these calls? Why wouldn't Brett Veach be on the phone about any left tackle that he can come up with? Why wouldn't he be kicking the tires on every corner that might be available across the league? Just in case, right? Just in case. Because what happens if Wanya Morris or Kingsley Sumataya get hurt? What happens if you lose another corner? Like, the Chiefs are in this unique position that teams don't get to be in, where they can think this way because it's all about that Super Bowl now. Everybody can say that, right? Like, oh yeah, we always it's Super Bowl or bust. That's our only goal. You can say that, but nobody's chasing history the way that Chiefs are chasing history now. Nobody can afford to make high profile moves the way that the Chiefs can because they get the safety blanket of Patrick Mahomes. That allows Brett Veach to be as aggressive as he's been over the years. He's swung and missed on a lot of trades, but he gets a lot of them right too. And the reality for this year is just keep swinging, right? Just keep swinging for the fences and see what happens. What's the worst thing they could do at the trade deadline? Not enough. It's not trade too much for a player. The worst thing they could do is not make a bad trade. It's to be complacent and not do everything they could do to ultimately help them win a Super Bowl. So everything's on the table. I think they're probably done. And I didn't think they were done with D-Hop. I do think they're probably done now. If they can keep pulling rabbits out of their hat with the salary cap, go for it, though. Like, don't stop. I mean, there's only, what do we have, 8 days left before the deadline? 7 days left, I guess it is, before the deadline. Just keep seeing what's out there. Keep seeing what's out there. You never know.
Yeah, and I think that, again, if it's a low cost for somebody, that's what you have to balance. Because while I do agree that the worst thing that the Chiefs could do at any trade deadline is not enough, there is another, it's not the worst thing, but it's not great either. And that would be completely mortgaging your future for something that doesn't pan out right away. So you have to balance that too. And I think that Veach has done a good job at that this year, especially. I mean, again, a sixth round pick for Uche, I'm okay with that. Like that, you know, Dan Israel mentioned in the last segment, a lot of cases, sixth round picks don't see the field ever. So, you know, you're getting an impact player for a pick that there's no guarantee that pick will develop into anything. So from a cost perspective, yeah, it's fine. And I think Veach is smart and savvy enough to do that sort of thing and not mortgage the future at a shot for right now. And that's always been the most delicate balance in everything, right, is going for the three-peat and setting history, but also not making sure that what ends up happening a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line or even further is that you have a talent deficiency because you don't have any picks left because you went all in on right now to try to set the record. So that's been a really delicate balance, and you have to try to make sure that you're accomplishing both things at the same time.
Well, I mean, they haven't even towed the line yet. Like, they, like these trades they've made have cost them next to nothing. So that's a nice luxury, right? We haven't even had to have the debate of did they overpay. I'd be fine having that debate, though, if the caliber of player that would make you have that debate could still come in. Like, I'd be totally fine to have that conversation. It doesn't scare me like it would if I was, say, a Cowboys fan. Like, no, that stuff is gold. They need to the Chiefs, again, it's the Mahomes thing. They get the luxury of being able to be more aggressive. Quick programming note, tomorrow on the program, 10 a.m., Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, will join us. They are done with the work ahead of time before the game next Monday, a week from yesterday, starts their season at Western Kentucky, a nice little true road game to get their season started. But we do still have work to be done, I will say, for both KU and K-State. So KU gets a game tonight against Washburn. They, of course, fell in their exhibition opener. That was all the way back on Friday. Seems like a lifetime ago, to Arkansas. It's a 16-point loss, not one, I mean, I won't put words in your mouth, not one that I think we're even remotely concerned about at this point, but it happened. They'll get another one against Washburn, and then K-State, and you'll hear this one tonight right here on KFH. They get Fort Hays State for their exhibition game. That's a 7 o'clock tip. So, Tommy, I mean, college basketball is, we're in full swing here. Next week, the season starts. We got Wichita State Monday. We've got KU Monday, and we got K-State Tuesday, and we're rocking and rolling with college hoops.
Yeah, you know, and you've got both KU and K-State with those exhibition games, you know, tonight, and I know that Kansas, and we didn't talk about it on the show yesterday. We haven't, you know, talked about it so far.
It was so long ago.
But Friday night, KU had their, you know, other exhibition game on the road at Arkansas. You know, it was pretty much a blowout by Calipari's team. You know, but Bill Self didn't have the full complement of players. Hunter Dickinson didn't play. Rylan Griffin didn't play. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing this exhibition game tonight against Washburn, because it looks like those guys will play at least somewhat in this exhibition game. And then same thing with Kansas State. I mean, this will be the first chance to really get a look at the team that Jerome Tang has put together. It was good to see Wichita State do what they did on Sunday night inside Coke Arena against Emporia State. But yeah, we're knocking on the doorstep to the full season, the regular season, and what all will transpire from there.
It's boy, I can't believe it's here, but it's here. I blame the Royals and their resurgence into this sneaking up on us probably more than it ever has, in a good way. Like, I'm glad that this has happened. But boy, I am ready for college basketball. We'll talk to Coach Mills about it tomorrow. I'm ready for the Shockers. It's an exhibition game. I get it. But that the vibes there continue to be very, very good. You know, this time last year, Tomu, they were unknown, right? I think that'd be the fair way to put it. We didn't know what the vibes were. This year, they're good. Like, they're very good vibes for Shockers. So they don't have an exhibition. K-State and KU do. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow on the program. All right, we'll come back. Last full segment. We got some comments to get to on some of the things we've been talking about here. We'll do that. The IHOP hotline is back open, by the way. 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. It's Albrock and Caster, Jad Chambers producing. More Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back into Sports Daily here. Tommy, how'd your fantasy football week go this past week?
It was a bad weekend. I'm in four leagues, and I went 0-4 this weekend. It was not good.
There were two there especially that I was paying close attention to.
Yeah, we were matched up in both of them, and you beat me in both of them.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good week. It was a good week.
I didn't get to say that much. I got bounced from our guillotine league.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I'm out.
Oh,
I'm out.
I missed that.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and you got bounced before the week before we did the second chance.
So I'm out. I'm not in anything right now. Like, I'm not eligible for the second chance league.
I need a third chance.
Yeah, I'm out.
So let me tell you about the second chance league last night. And this probably went against you. I don't know how close it was for you. The last drive, Malik Neighbors got me there by a point on that last drive for the Giants.
No, I was out of it by the end of Sunday Night Football. And what was unfortunate was that there were two other players in our league that I needed to not do well for me to stay in it. I was done, and they had George Kittle, and I think the other guy had Debo, and it was just like, George Kittle went off on Sunday Night Football, and that was the end of it for me.
Kittle got me in a league or two also. So that's, I feel your pain. So these guillotine leagues we're talking about, what happens is if you never played one, they're so fun. I just started one last year. You have all the teams, and the lowest scoring team essentially gets eliminated, and then all their players become free agents. Yep. And then you go in and you bid on those, but it is a blast. It's wild. But that's what that is that we were talking about. So Ken, as we've been talking Chiefs, who make another trade. Rick says that these are not nothing picks. Good teams keep building with late round picks. Totally agree with that. I do think the Chiefs are in a different position, though, where this is the year where that's not as important as it would be. Last year, What did they trade for D-Hop? It could be a fourth. It was a fifth, though. Mm-hmm. Could be a fourth.
Yeah, conditional fourth rounder.
So last year in the draft, in the fifth round, Hunter Norzad and Kamal Haddon. In 23, you had B.J. Thompson, Keandre Coburn, and Nick Jones. In 22, Isaiah Pacheco and Jalen Watson. Of course, that was a big-time seventh round for them. Darian Kennard and Nazi Johnson were the others. In 21, and I'm not going to go back like forever here, Noah Gray was a fifth. Cornell Powell didn't work out. And then Trey Smith, of course, was a sixth in 21. So I think, and Michael Dana was a fifth, by the way. To Rick's point, the Chiefs especially have been good in those rounds. I mean, you're talking about through those 4 or 5 years, I mean, we're talking about, I don't know, 4 or 5 impact players. And the reality is the Chiefs have been much, 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 much better in those rounds than they have been in the early rounds in reality. If you're looking at, you know, what players have delivered based on where they've been drafted. So I do agree with Rick. Like, they're not nothing picks, but where I would say, and I've been saying that this year is different, is if the Chiefs are able to win this Super Bowl, they will be the GOAT, right? Like nobody's ever done this before. And I do think that matters. I think it matters a great deal. And it's not going to hamstring the organization for a long time because they have Patrick Mahomes. So if for 1 year you're missing out on that, I think if any year that risk is worth it, this is that year. But I think Rick brings up a good point, because too often teams and you know, fans will see these deals and they're like, oh, who cares? It's just a whatever round pick, fourth or fifth or whatever. No, those are meaningful picks for teams that are really good. And they're meaningful for the Chiefs too. But I do think the appropriate risk is being taken here to get what they need right now.
The other thing you have to keep in mind too is that part of the reason I would argue that the earlier round picks have not been as impactful for Kansas City over the years is because they're picking 32nd in the draft, right? So like your first round draft pick is pick number 32. It's not pick number two, it's 32. You know, same thing in the second round and that sort of thing. Now, they've not done a phenomenal job, especially with first round picks over the last few years. But
they've had plenty of hits. I mean, they've had plenty of hits. Man, they've just also had plenty of duds.
Like right now, FAU hasn't done, I think, what has been expected of him as a first round pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire obviously was a miss in the first round. So there are hits and misses for sure. But we're not talking about a top 10 or top 5 pick. We're talking about pick number 32 in those earlier rounds. And so that does make the earlier round picks slightly less impactful and probably does elevate, again, the importance of later round draft picks, because you're not always going to get like a bona fide superstar in the first round.
And don't – it's not that the Chiefs aren't great. They've done a really nice job early too. Last year, Rashi Rice – of course, was there. Trent McDuffie and Karlaftis were both first-round picks the same year they took Sky Moore, which was a miss. You're not going to hit on every pick. Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey came in the year. They didn't have a first. They didn't use a first. So they've had, and Willie Gay was a second. Like, they've also been really good in the first or second. They've just had a few misses, which I'm fine with, right? Like, I'm good with it, because every other year or every other pick or half their early-round picks end up being, like, Pro Bowl-type players. The challenge is, you can't afford to keep them all. And that's where you'd like to have some of these later round picks. That's where it'll get you in a little bit of trouble. But again, I think all the risk is appropriate this year. If there is ever a year, and I am not a proponent of this in sports, I'm not. If there's ever a year to push it all in, though, this is the year to do it. There's just like you get a chance to be the best ever, you take that chance. Especially when you have Mahomes to bail you out.
Yeah, I'd rather walk that tightrope a little bit and try to balance it as best as you
can.
Well,
they are.
Right.
Yeah, they are. They're
like,
not.
I'm not willing, and I haven't been, and I won't be willing to just be like, move it all in. Like, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters in the future. Just get this.
Yeah. No, I'm not either. I
want to be a little bit more thoughtful than that.
That player doesn't exist. They can't do that. They don't have the cap room to do that kind of a move anyway. The Davante Adams or Amari Cooper type move. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight, including some college basketball, as we wrap up Sports Daily. Don't go away.